הקצה משודרת מאולפני BPM. המכללה של תעשיית המוזיקה. BPM. המציעה מגוון קורסים מובילים בתחומי הרדיו, קריינות, די-ג'יי, סאונד והפקה, פיתוח קול ועוד. פרטים באתר. bpm.com.
אתם עכשיו.
אתם עכשיו על הקצה.
הקצה. ועכשיו קוואמי.
הקצה עם קוואמי.
אהלן, היי, שלום, סלם, פיס. What's up, סטיב קילבי?
Yeah. Well, I'm very surprised to wake up today and find myself in Tel Aviv, where I never thought I would ever come. And yeah, feeling really happy and really enjoying everything. Feeling really looking forward to playing tomorrow night. And I never really thought about, you know, maybe people in Tel Aviv want to hear my music. But I'm really happy to be here.
It's amazing for me you're here. Because you're one of my favorite artists. Thanks so much for coming to the station. Let me gather my breath. We'll play a song and we'll start dwelling into the conversation. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. גבירותיי ורבותיי, סטיב קילבי, סולן דה צ'רץ', יופיע מחר באוזן בר בתל אביב, ועכשיו הוא פה, באולפן הקצה. זה לא יאמן בכלל, מה שקורה פה. זאת אומרת, זה שהוא פה. אנחנו נדבר איתו בשעה הקרובה. קוואמי כאן איתכם.
As evening crawls in the wake of the sky, no skyscraper lets you forget. Then the sun shines down, blinds this town, and you laugh every morning, but every night you will regret. When the ping is well off, they'll bring us something to eat. Now sing your song like nothing's wrong. But the song that you sing is the thing that disaster will bring. Thank you.
סידני רוקוקו, סטיב קילבי, סולן דה צ'רץ' בארץ, מופיע מחר באוזן בר בתל אביב, וכאן נמצא איתי באולפן. What's סידני רוקוקו?
What is it?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, I felt like Sydney itself was sort of, look, I don't really even know what Rococo is.
Somebody's, oh, really? Okay.
But somebody said to me, you know, Rococo is after Baroque and Baroque is after this. And it's like, I don't know about all that. I just, I knew someone who said to me, I've just bought this Rococo chair. And I heard the word Rococo and I went, I thought, to me, Sydney, with all its flowers and its trees and its birds and it's like natural Rococo. It's like ornamentation. You know what I mean? Like there's sort of flowers and plants and lizards and birds and stuff everywhere. And I felt, to me, Sydney is like a living natural Rococo. But having said that, I don't really know what Rococo really is. So it's just, you know, it's just like a, you know, it's like anything.
That's the theme song of your latest album.
Yeah, yeah.
It was released like about 6 months ago, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It came out about 6 months ago, yeah.
And you, during your lifetime, you've released about, I think, a billion records.
At least.
EPs, yeah, right? Something
yeah,
like that.
Millions, yeah.
And like today I wanted to check one of your earliest songs on Spotify.
Yeah.
And I found out that I didn't even know, and you've released another new single after the album.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so my question is, where the fuck do you have the time to do all of the music that you do? You do so much.
That's all I do. I don't really have, I don't do anything else. And I always had a need to keep writing all the time. I can't stop. I can't stop writing. I can't stop writing music. I can't stop writing lyrics. And a lot of people are always approaching me for collaborations. Like there's records out there that haven't come out yet that I've worked on. So, you know, when people say to me, would you sing on my song? Would you write some lyrics? Would you play something? I always say yes. And I used to have a manager who said, you can't say yes all the time, but I always do. So, you know, if I'm walking down the street, I meet some Israeli guy and he says, hey, you want to come in my studio and sing on my song? And I go, yeah, I've got half an hour. Let's go in and do
wow,
it.
Wow, really?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You're not snubbing anyone.
Huh?
You're not snubbing anyone.
No, I work with anybody. If I like the music, if I like what they're doing, if somebody sends me something and I listen to it and I really like it, I'll sing on it.
Amazing.
Sure. Yeah.
And do you sometimes write songs that you know that are going to be on specifically on your solo album or on a church album or in a collab album?
Well, it's always, so when I'm working on the church, I know it's going to be the church. The church sort of got a philosophy now where we're supposed to all write the songs together. So if I write a good song on my own, they're probably not going to want to do it.
Because they're not involved in the writing
process? Yeah, no,
process?
They want to be... Yeah, the church had an agreement that we all split everything four ways. So, okay, like on... So on that album, Further Deeper, I wrote a song called Old Coast Road on my own, but I had to share it and say it was written by everybody. So that's the sort of philosophy. So if I write something on my own, it's going to be for me, and when I write something with them, it's going to be for them. But I don't really turn up to the church and go, hey, I've got a song, because they won't want to do it.
All right.
They'll go, it's got to be a corporate decision.
So you talked about Further Deeper. I love that album.
Yeah.
It's from 2014.
Yeah.
And can you tell me something about the background of making that album?
Well, Marty Wilson Piper left the band. He'd been with the band for 35 years. And he just left. Musical and personal differences, he was gone. And there was a band in Australia that was the biggest band in Australia at the time called Powderfinger that didn't do anything anywhere else in the world, but they in Australia they were massive. They were like the Foo Fighters or something. They were like muscly rock and roll. And I knew they'd broken up, and I knew that the guitarist from Powderfinger loved the Church, because every now and then I'd spoken to him and said, I love the church. So I just rang him up and said, would you like to join the church? And he said, yeah. So we just got him in the studio, and we just turned up on the first day and picked up our instruments and started fiddling around and just wrote the album. And then I come back and sing on it, you know. It's pretty, just like jamming, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Let's hear Delirious, all right?
Hmm?
Let's hear Delirious.
Hear the lyrics.
Delirious.
Delirious, yeah. That's a great song, yeah.
From Further Deeper, The Church, Steve Kilby פה באולפן הקצה, מחר, באוזן בר בתל אביב, אל תחמיצו. ואם יש לכם שאלות לשאול אותו, אתם מוזמנים או מוזמנות בפייסבוק של הקצה או בפייסבוק שלי, כתבו בכיף. Delirious, The Church, מתוך Further Deeper, אלבום נהדר מ-2014. סטיב קילבי כאן ואולפן הקצה. I want to tell you about, maybe you know, but I want to tell you about how The Church became a name in Israel.
Yeah.
It was due to two radio DJs in a station called Galei Tzal, which is one of the biggest here in Israel. You know, during the 80s, there wasn't, of course, everybody knows, there wasn't any internet, and there were no small stations. There were like a popular music radio station, and there was that Galei Tzal, which had DJs that believed in indie and alternative music. And over there, there were two. One is called Yoav Kutner, and he's like the Israeli John Peel. He was ever since then and now. And the second one is not with us anymore, unfortunately. She was called Michal Niv. And both of them, they heard Starfish a while after it was released, before it became popular. and they just, it blew their minds off, and they started playing songs from the album in their shows, almost every show for a while. And and Yoav Kutner especially, he played Under the Milky Way, I think in each and every show he did.
Wow.
And again, it wasn't a hit yet. It was the making of a classic before it became one. And I was a child, I was an admirer of them both, and I used to listen to all of their shows and record them on cassettes. And I started waiting for him to play Under the Milky Way, especially waiting for that bagpipe moment. What is it, by the way?
It's a backwards African bagpipes.
Okay.
Backwards.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was just beautiful. And after that, and after other people started talking about the Starfish, the album with that song, and others, Michal Niv started playing backwards music of yours. Like, she didn't play them backwards like the bagpipe,
yeah,
but
yeah,
she played all the music.
Earlier stuff.
Earlier stuff by the Church. And that's how I discovered other songs at your earliest incarnations. So it's a lot, it's almost all due to them. So first,
oh wow,
I wanted to give them props, so you'll know.
Well, thank you guys, thanks for being early pioneers of the Church, I appreciate it.
And I saw you alive. I seriously flew to California to see the Church live when I read you played Starfish, the whole of Starfish
album, yeah.
And I saw you in San Francisco, and I thought about it that you were, I think a few days before or after, you also played in LA, and LA is where you've recorded the album.
Yeah.
And I know you had a rough time over there when the album was there. So I wanted to ask you about, was there any closure, and how do you feel about LA nowadays, like returning to the
LA,
to the crime scene?
It was very complicated. We were signed up to Arista, and apparently they gave us a lot of money that none of it ever came to us, but it was to make the record. And they got these two guys in, these big shot American producers, and they didn't really think very much of us. We were just a job they were squeezing in until they did the next Eagles record.
Really?
Jackson Browne, yeah. They didn't think it was very good, or they weren't very impressed with it. And we'd always worked in Australia before, and we'd always worked with people who wanted to work with us and knew what we did. And it was hard to work under these sort of conditions with someone thinking that they were just fitting you in until the next proper gig came along.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then, and they didn't, like, okay, there's a lyric on a song called Lost.
Yeah.
And the lyric is, it's an exquisite corpse and its lips are red. And in the middle of singing this, the guy, the producer, says, hey, Kilby, what does that fucking mean? And I explained to him about the surrealists in Paris and how they used to play this game called Exquisite Corpse. And I explained the whole story to him. When I finished, he turned to the engineer and said, I told you I wouldn't fucking understand what this was all about. And it was like that. It was like they didn't understand anything that we were doing. They didn't understand the lyrics. They didn't understand anything. But when it was successful, they were like, oh,
we did this.
Now we understand. Now we know what we're doing. But when we were doing it, it was sort of under, like they would just treat us like we were hopeless, you know?
And how do you feel? Like, I read that you had a rough time being in LA.
It wasn't really rough. I mean, it was like, it was different. It was like, there was the freeway shootings were happening. So people were just randomly shooting at each other on the freeway.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, no one ever shot at me, but it was just different. There were a lot of drugs. And It was good for me. It shook me up. It got me out of my Sydney complacency. You know, before that, making an album to me was getting up in the morning, being at home, having my breakfast, getting on the bus, going into town, singing for a while, and then coming home. But being in LA, being immersed in this whole thing, I think it brought a new edge and sharpness. It certainly, a lot of the lyrics were written about LA or because of LA. Then, I mean, they're not directly about LA necessarily, but a lot of the lyrics were written under those sort of circumstances, and all the things that went with being in it. I mean, we got to LA and we each got a car, a renter car. Everyone had their own apartment, had a renter car, and given money. And there was a lot of extracurricular stuff going on, you know what I mean? Like, all kinds of things. So it was quite an adventure, and it was nothing like anything we'd ever done before. But the guys we were working with were, yeah, they were quite rude. But, you know, the American business, music business, is quite rude. People are quite rude. We don't see that in Australia. Even if you're the biggest star in Australia, when you talk to the engineer who's engineering your record, you say, could you please go and do this? And the guy goes, yeah, thank you. But in America, it's like, hey, you fucking go and do that. What you fucking do? You know what I mean? It's all like everybody, there's a pecking order. There's the big shot producer, and then there's the engineer, and then there's the tape op. And I remember once we're working on Starfish, and I was saying to the big shot producer, no, I would need to go back and do this chorus. And he's going, oh, we've already done it. I said, no, there's another chorus. He's going, we've done it. And the tape op said, no, he's talking about this. And everyone went quiet. And the producer turned around and said to the tape op, don't you ever fucking tell me what to do with my job. And it's very much like that. And I've never used to that. In Australia, everybody was polite, and it didn't matter if you're the biggest star in Australia or the smallest guy. Everybody's nice to each other in the studio. There's no yelling and bossing, and there's no, you know. But in America, it can get very much like that. And I've sort of worked with American musicians who sort of yell at their roadies and they're angry. But you know, but Van Morrison is the same. He's not American. You know, there's some people. But I've never seen music like that. I've never yelled at a roadie in my whole fucking life. I don't treat my crew, hey, would you fucking give me a guitar out of tune? It's like, hey, you just gave me my guitar. It was out of tune. You know, I'm sorry, Steve. Okay, well, let's sort it out. But, you know, in the music business, in show business, you know, as you get higher and higher, there's a lot of that pecking order and how important you are. And I didn't like that. That made me feel very uncomfortable, that whole thing, and feeling like I was just a peanut to these guys.
Yeah. Are you going to play songs from Starfish, from that era, in the show tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to do... I think we do two songs from Starfish.
All right.
Of course we do Under the Milky Way.
Great.
Please, anybody who's coming to our show, you don't have to yell out for Under the Milky Way. We are going to do it. There's no need to yell out. You know, it's so that we always do that one.
Great. Let's hear one of my favorites, okay, of the album. Destination, The Church, מתוך Starfish, Steve Kilby, פה באולפן הקצה, מחר, באוזן בר בתל אביב.
solar day, suddenly you're lost. Your little envelope just makes me cold. Makes destination start to unfold. Documents are useless or forged beyond believing. Page 47 is a sign I needed by this evening. In the space between our cities, a storm is slowly forming. Something eating up our days. Just a way of making you speak. And distance and speed have left us too weak. My destination looks kind of bleak.
Destination, the church, מתוך סטארפיש, סטיב קילבי, here in the studio. Let's talk about the album that kind of brought you here, because...
Which album's out?
The one that's going to be reissued, Unseen Music, Unheard Words.
Right.
So...
That's so old. It's such an old record.
When is it, like 2007, something like that?
Long before that.
Really?
Oh yeah, no, like it's like 2002 or 2003.
Okay.
We would have started working on that.
You and Martin Kennedy.
Yeah, so you want to hear the story behind that?
Yeah.
All right. So I lived in Sweden and I lived in America for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back to Australia, my youngest brother John said, hey, there's this group that's just come out called All India Radio. I think you're going to like them. So he gave me their record and I listened to it and I went, oh, wow, I love this. So every time I did an interview, people go, hey, who are you listening to? And I go, oh, All India Radio. I'm just listening to All India Radio. And so eventually Martin came to me and said, would you like to sing on some of my songs? I said, yeah. But I didn't meet him. We didn't even meet until we made the second album. So he would just send...
Before you continue, I just want to say, All India Radio is, for those of you who don't know it, it's kind of an electronic, trippy, with a soundtrack's vibe music to it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like Pink Floyd-y sort of.
Yeah, more electronic.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no singing. Oh, he did bring a singer in, and eventually, a girl. But I never met him, and he would send a track and I'd go in and do vocals on it and send it back to him, and a few weeks later another track would come, and we never met. And so we made the album like that, and my brother did the engineering and helped me with the backing vocals. But I never met Martin until we started making the second album, so it was all just done on through the mail.
How many albums did you do?
Well, we've did 5 records together, and we also did 3 albums of commissioned songs. So what we did, just to make money and as an exercise, we said, we will write a song for you. So say your sister was having a birthday and you wanted a special song for
her. She's actually getting married.
Is she? There you go. Okay, well, write to us.
All right.
And for $1,000, it's gone up to $1,500 now, we will write a song. And you say, yeah, my sister's getting married, her name's Susie, she's getting married to Jim, they've blah 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 blah, and we would tailor a song for you, so you could give that. So especially if someone who was a church fan or something, on their dad's birthday or their wife's birthday or whatever it was, they could give them a CD, and there's a special song that Martin and I have written for them. So we put out 3 albums of that as well. So there's 5 albums of our own songs that we just wrote, and there's another 3 albums which we called Songs from the Real World, which are people asked us to write.
Mm. And why of all of your albums, it's a beautiful album.
Yeah.
But why is this one the ones that's getting reissued? Right,
I don't know.
It's just,
why would I know?
Because
that?
Of Moti Cohen and
because of Moti Cohen and Third Ear, okay, have decided to reissue this one.
They just love that album.
I guess so, yeah, ask, okay, them, yeah, I don't know.
Moti, I know you're listening, אז אם אתה רוצה להיכנס ולהגיד כמה מילים, אתה מוזמן. It's a beautiful album, and you're going to play songs from it as well?
We're going to do, we're only going to do 1 song from it.
Mm, which one?
We're going to do, I don't even know what that song's called.
Friends Are Gone.
No.
It's Stretch Into the Stars.
No, it's that one, Child, don't fly too high, there's danger in the sky above you, all this. You know that one?
Yeah, but I don't remember its name.
I always wanted to talk to you. I don't even know what that song... Maybe Soon. It's called Maybe Soon.
Maybe Soon.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, we're going to do that one.
So let's hear Maybe Soon.
Okay.
From Unheard Music, Unheard Words, האלבום של סטיב קילבי ומרטין קנדי, שיוצא עכשיו מחדש ולראשונה בויניל, בזהב שחור, הלייבל הנהדר של האוזן השלישית. ומוטי כהן, האיש שמביא, בין השאר, האיש שמביא את סטיב קילבי לארץ, הוא אחראי שם לעניינים. אז כבוד גדול לו, ולאורן הדר בורלה מהאוזן שנמצאים פה איתנו. Maybe Soon, סטיב קילבי ומרטין קנדי, מ-Unseen Music, Unheard Words, שימו לב.
Going, no way I could show you this.
the things I'm saying. Always people out there praying, paying. Child, don't want off. The mirror's soft, you'll fall right through. Nothing to stop you. Fakes and failures. It's all so far from you. Child, don't take it hard. It's just that all your cards ain't aces. God, the faces that you do. I always wanted to talk with you. I'm so afraid. Everything is gone. Find me standing all alone.
Maybe soon, Steve Kilby ומרטין קנדי מתוך Unseen Music, Unseen Words, סליחה, אלבום נפלא שזהב שחור, הלייבל של האוזן השלישית, לבין ההוצאות המחודשות של האוזן, הוציא היום מחדש, ומחר תוכלו לקנות את זה בהופעה של סטיב קילבי ואמנדה קריימר באוזן בר בתל אביב. מאוד מאוד מומלץ להיות שם, וכמו שאתם שומעים, האיש כל כך מקסים, לא נעים לי להגיד את זה בפניו, שלא חושב שאני מתחנף אליו כל היום, אבל זו האמת. אני אגיד מחמאות אחרות, אבל אז אולי עדיין נחשוב ככה. I listened to this album, Unseen Music, Unheard Words, yesterday. I had to be on a train to Haifa.
Haifa,
yeah. Haifa, to me, is the most beautiful city in Israel.
Yeah.
And during that train drive,
yeah,
it was evening, and I saw the sunset. I didn't plan to, but yeah. I saw the sunset, and when I entered Haifa, I saw the sea, and I felt the wind, and it felt so poetic hearing this album while seeing all of this.
Wow.
And I thought during listening to it that I wanted to ask you if because you travel so much around the world and you perform so much,
yeah,
is sightseeing an influence on the songs you write?
Absolutely. Everything that I do, and always my whole life, everything I do, see, read, look, touch, could become a song. So I imagine all of this experience will one day come out in a song, you know, or could be about, you know, my next song could be Tel Aviv.
You have a song called Tel Aviv.
Yeah, I do have a song called Tel Aviv.
You do?
If only, what? We should have learned to play that one. It's a really weird little song too.
Yeah, I have it here if you want to play it here later.
It's a really weird one. No, but maybe my next album would be Tel Aviv Rococo.
Wow.
I don't know. No, everything is, going and traveling and seeing things, it all goes into the mixture, for sure.
And I follow you on Instagram, and it seems like you don't have a minute to rest. Like, you're at the move all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm playing all the time, doing stuff all the time, moving around. In Australia, I do a lot of things, some of them just to make money. You know, there's this traveling show in Australia, which is like 20 washed up singers from the 80s going around singing their big hits. And I do that because it's good money. You know, I get money. I sing three songs. I earn good money. So I do that. Not everything I do is artistic and beautiful and wonderful. Sometimes it's just singing under the Milky Way on a TV show or something. And I was on a quiz show. You know, I was on TV doing answering, because I'm very good at rock and roll trivia.
Yeah, you're a music buff, right?
Yeah. I've got an encyclopedic knowledge of rock and roll, but I don't know very much about anything else. Do you know what I mean?
I
can't change a light bulb, but I know who was the drummer on the second Edison Lighthouse album. You know?
I hear you, man.
Yeah.
I identify completely. Yeah. So you know what? This leads me to another thing I wanted to ask. If you could put your finger on it, who are your biggest musical influences?
Oh, well, you know, it came in two waves. First of all, you know, when I was 10 in 1964, the Beatles appeared, and instantly I was hooked on the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Dylan and all of that. But I was never obsessed. I loved it, and I listened to it, and I bought the records. And then I discovered T-Rex when I was 16, and then rapidly after T-Rex, I discovered David Bowie. So T-Rex and David Bowie were my things that I was obsessed by, that I lived and breathed and had pictures on my wall and wrote their lyrics out and thought and talked. And my friends, if somebody liked T-Rex and David Bowie, they were my best friend. So they were the things, that was when I really deeply fell in love with rock and roll. Although, of course, the Beatles and Stones and Dylan were huge, but it was T-Rex and David Bowie that I idolized and sort of changed my life when I discovered them. And they also showed me how I could do it. 'Cause I wasn't John Lennon. I wasn't a working class hero, and I wasn't Paul McCartney. I wasn't a brilliant melodicist. But when I discovered Mark Bolan and saw what he was doing, you could see he had a sort of a limited talent. He wasn't brilliant, but what he did with it, what he did, and the sort of way he did it, showed me the way. And I always say, Bolan was John the Baptist, and then Bowie was the Jesus Christ. Bolan opened the way for, Bolan showed Bowie how to do it. And Bowie was very influenced by Bolan. I've just read a book by Tony Visconti, and he said Bowie was really impressed with Bolan all the time, was watching him, and he said, but Bolan was really rude to Bowie and was not interested at all in what he was doing. And but to me, I don't think, although Bowie had a lot more talent, like whatever talent is, Bowie had it in every way, so much more than Bolan. But I still think Bowie needed Bolan to open the door and show him how to do it.
Yeah. And do you have favorites today?
Today, well, I just heard one of my most favorite records, which is Sigur Rós. However you fucking pronounce all of that. Yeah, I just heard that track.
Agaetis Birion.
From Agaetis, you're right. I think they're the best band in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, they're my favorite band in the world. They're one of the only modern bands I really listen. I do listen to Twilight Singers,
okay,
a bit. I really like them, but I think what Sigur Rós is doing is this incredible spiritual thing. I'm glad I don't know what the lyrics are. It doesn't matter. In fact, I envy him that he's singing in some unknown language. It's not Icelandic. He's not singing in Iceland. Do you know this?
Yeah.
He's sort of got this made up language, and I envy that. And I think the just hearing the syllables and the vowels, it just suggests so much to me. And I think it's like the most pure and beautiful spiritual music there is. It's it's not about sex or mind or beat. It's about spirit, and it's about sort of I think Brian Wilson had this great phrase. He said, I was writing teenage symphonies to God. And I think in the end, that's what all music is going, is sort of like a hymn. It's like, this is a beautiful world. This, you know, everything could be really beautiful. It's so easy to make ugly music. It's so easy to pick up electric guitar and get a screwdriver and go, but it's anyone can do that. Anyone can go on stage and cut themselves and bang their head and spit on the audience and all of that. The wild punk bands do. That's easy to do. But to create something really beautiful and spiritual, that's the hardest thing to do. And that's, in my opinion, Sigur Rós are approaching like a sort of a beautiful hymn, classical sort of thing. So I just love what they're doing. I listen to them all the time when I'm painting, when I'm walking to the swimming pool. I listen, I bathe deeply in their music, and sort of, it just really does something for me. Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought about it unless you said that, but now that you did, I really can hear something Sigur Rós-y in your latest album, in When Man, Woman, Life, Death, Infinity.
Yeah.
I think something about the spaciness in the production. To me, this is one of my church's favorite albums.
Okay.
It's just an incredible album.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you specifically about one of my favorite songs over there, For King Knife.
Ah, For King Knife. Well, you know, there's a joke. There's a joke implied in that total, fork and knife.
You see, I'm such a dumbass that I didn't understand it.
Yeah, no, but most people wouldn't. It's like a child song. It's like a nursery rhyme. It's a especially the bit when he goes, a squirrel and a bear, a pony and a dog. It's sort of like, it's getting back to that English childhood sort of Genesis sort of stuff. Yeah.
מתוך Man, Woman, Life, Death, Infinity, Forking Knife, The Church.
A song for King Knife. Song for the king, the king of nearly everything, the king, the king, the king. The dog and the cycle, a thimble and a thrush, no rush. The show will start without you. A pony and a clown, a ticket to the dance, no chance. The show will start without you. Crown for Queen Spoon, a lovely eye down there too soon. A new crown for the Queen, the Queen I've nearly never seen. Wicked little mannequin, a squirrel.
without you. A window in a tree, a flourish and a feather. Forever the show will start without you. And the show will start without you. Yes, the show will start without you.
King Knife, The Church, מתוך אלבומם האחרון בינתיים, Man, Woman, Life, Death, Infinity, שיצא ב-2017, ממש אחד האלבומים הכי נפלאים של The Church, וגם אני הייתי רוצה לומר שאפשר גם למצוא, יש מצב שתוכלו גם למצוא לו את The Church בסיגורוס, אפרופו מה שאמרנו קודם, תחשבו על זה אם תשמעו גם וגם. Okay, so you're gonna perform tomorrow at the Ozen Bar in Tel Aviv with Amanda Kramer. Let's talk about Amanda.
Yeah, well, Amanda's the keyboard player in the Psychedelic Furs and has been, I think, for like 15 years. And the Church did a couple of tours and we met up and we discovered we liked the same sort of music. And we discovered we both liked the same Bob Dylan song.
Oh, really?
Which we were going to do tomorrow night, called Sweetheart Like You.
Nice.
Do you know that one from Infidels?
Yeah.
What's a sweetheart like you doing in a dump like this? We both discovered that we like the same kind of songs and music. So we've started playing together, and she played on Sydney Rococo. She wrote the music for The Wrong One Again. And just lovely to have this sort of wonderful piano player at your disposal. And you'll see tomorrow night, for about 6 or 7 songs, I get off the guitar and I'm just a singer, and I just sing and she plays the piano. And I think the piano is the most beautiful instrument. My father was a piano player. I wished I had been a piano player. I just couldn't learn it. I just wasn't good enough to play it. But having a really good pianist at your disposal is a wonderful thing, and I haven't always had it. And now that I have it, I love to do these solo I mean, I could have just come here on my own and played guitar, but it wouldn't nearly have been as rich and as fulfilling as having her being part of it.
Before we end the show, is there anything else you want to say? Something about something?
No, not really. I think we've covered everything, yeah.
All right. Steve Gibby, it was just beautiful having you here.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you so much for coming to this humble station of ours,
yeah,
and for coming to Israel. Thank you very much to Moti Cohen and Oren Adar Burla and Zahav Shachor, label של האוזן השלישית, for bringing you here.
You know, they've been hassling me for about 5 years to come.
Seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Steve, you should come and play in Israel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when are you coming? And I go, oh. And so they've been really working hard. Please come and play, please come and play, please come and play. And then Modi came to England when I played there.
Wow.
And said, just come and fucking play in Israel, will you? And we go, all right, we will.
So thank you so much for coming.
Okay.
And thank you so much for Moti for making it happen. תודה רבה גם לעומר סנס, ספיר כהן בן, אשתי השפיגל, ניר לימור, מכללת BPM, צוות הקמת האתר החדש. מיד אחריי ממשיכים בתוכניות קמפוס הקצה, כאן בכל סוף השבוע, ברדיו הקצה, כל אנשי ונשות, כל הקמפוס יחיו את התחנה למי שבמקרה לא יודע או יודעת. ומיד אחריי תוכלו לשמוע את רועי חיימוביץ' עם קפוצ'ון, ואותן ניצחון שתפסי לה את השעה כפרה עליה, תשדר בין 7-8 היום את הגבול. Thank you so much, Steve Kilby, again for coming. I love you very much.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you. We're going to end with a song that Amanda wrote, right?
She wrote the music, yeah.
The Wrong One. One of the most beautiful songs from your latest album, Sydney Rococo. Steve Kilby, Kwame Khan. תודה שהקשבתם והקשבתן. רק טוב שיהיה לכם.
She's fallen in love with the wrong one again. And the things which were merely near are all entangled, I hear the force of violins inside her getting ready to bow. The loss of spirit to guide her getting ready to go. Pulling your punches, the hunt is cold. Then launching your the stranger stole. She's saying some things that she knows she'll regret. And all the words you can bear are whispered everywhere. The name up the streets around here getting ready to go. The flames and the heat around here, as above so below. Going in circles, I assume miracles in the living room. Taking some things and she'll never return. And all the men that you ever meet are falling at her feet. The tree of a drum inside her getting ready to roll. The drum of the dream inside her getting ready to fall. Falling with wonder, I suppose. Then torn asunder, the thunder goes.